This is Dylan Powers, and you're listening to the Rapids Podcast, presented by Dick's Sporting Goods.
Let's go up. Sanchez with a shot across goal, and he's buried that one. Just a short brown races through, and has he got the goal? Yes, he has! From one end to the other, as quick as you like, in the blink of an eye. Nicely taken by Torres. We'll have a shot. Oh!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Rapids Podcast presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. I'm Rapids Media Relations Director David Lindholm here, as always, with Richard Fleming, the team's play-by-play man on altitude and also the Director of Broadcasting. And Richard, it's been a fun week to be around the Rapids camp, wouldn't you say? I mean, there's been a bit of a buzz we've been talking about.
There's just been one topic of conversation. It's been that goal from Jose Mari against Vancouver last weekend.
And what's funny is if he hadn't scored that first one, the second one would have been that goal. You know, the second one was a great goal, but the first one was just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's very easy to look at that second goal and look at it in its sort of simplest form. But a lot of players will have just leathered that. They would have just tried to go for power. Jose Mari clearly was very composed, knew where he wanted to put the ball, could see that the keeper was slightly unsighted, curled it round, caught me off guard, as everybody will be aware, from the altitude call because of the angle and the keeper's response. Jose Mari knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly. It was an incredible... both of them were incredible for different reasons. The first one, left-footed and pure power and precision. The second one, right-footed and just, you know, smarts, knowing to not try to blast that ball.
And I think what it showed, he clearly showed that he's decent with both left foot and right foot, but it showed his composure. I think I put in view from the booth this week, I was pouring praise over Jose Mari. It showed his balance, his poise, his technique, and you and I have both spoken, he's not the largest of guys. He's 5'11", 150 pounds, and yet he controls that midfield. You don't have to have huge muscles. You don't have to be a 6'5", 200-pound midfield guy. He's got great balance, great poise, great vision, and he is quickly becoming a favourite and a real asset to the Rapids.
Well, sure. And if he keeps scoring goals like that, he's done about 1,000 interviews this week having to talk about those goals. I think he was very excited at first to talk about them, and then starting more recently, I think he's been less inclined to keep talking about them over and over again and trying to change the focus to this weekend in Toronto. But he did the celebration to celebrate to Spain, basically, to talk about himself as a Spaniard and doing the sort of what Toreador, the Matador celebration, which has made some headlines as well.
Yeah, I mean that was wonderful. I don't know whether that was planned. I'm not sure whether it was.
Oh, he said it was planned. He said he knew going in when he scored, and he said I was lucky enough to be able to do it twice.
And it was good that he is beginning to start to play down the goal, and not because it wasn't a fantastic, sensational goal of the season candidate, but as you say, the focus now, you can, and we as fans and the media get carried away by the goal, and we tend to drag it out a little bit, but as players, that's gone. It's still only 3 points. It's still only a 2-1 win. It's still only one game. And there's no point reveling in that and then getting your backsides kicked in Toronto this weekend. So they've got to come back down to earth. Yes, get the interviews. Yes, wallow in the publicity and the glory and the spotlight, but knuckle down as they will do and look ahead to Toronto, because that's going to be another tough game. Whoever they put out, they got a fantastic win in Columbus last weekend without Jermaine Defoe. Some suggestions that Michael Bradley is not fully fit, and he could be a doubt for the weekend. We'll have to wait and see. My gut feeling is they'll wheel at least one of those guys out, but the flip side to that is that there's two guys potentially could be on the way to the World Cup, and do Toronto want to burn them out early on? But whoever they put out, as they showed against Columbus, they're more than capable of upsetting any of the sides in Major League Soccer, as all of the sides are. It's that word parity, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and before we move on to that Toronto game, you mentioned Jose Mari doing some of those interviews. One thing that's an ongoing project for him is learning English, and he's doing it really quickly. You can see him. He talks to Drew, who he sits next to in the locker room. He talks to all the players, and really is trying to pick things up. And in fact, was even volunteered to try to do a one answer in English after the match on Saturday. I think we've got some audio of that. So let's hear Jose Mari after the game on Saturday talking about his goal.
It's a shot. Oh, what a cracker! What an absolute belter from Jose Mari! That has come out of nowhere!
I'm very happy. This score is dedicated to my family and the fans of Colorado Rapids. I'm very happy to today.
The Whitecaps down to 10 men, and the Rapids are right back in it with an absolute beauty.
This is Pablo Mastroeni, and you're listening to the Rapids Podcast, presented by Dick's Sporting Goods.
That's Rapids midfielder Jose Mari, and he said he had never passed an English class in school growing up. I think he had taken some English classes, but he'd talked about how poorly he had done in those classes, and he's coming along pretty quick. That's a guy who's only been in the country for about a month and a couple, yeah. 6 weeks.
And it's interesting. You talk about he sits next to Drew in the locker room. The pair were jogging around the training field on Tuesday and chatting. Clearly it wasn't a fluid conversation, but there was broken English in there. So it is clear that he's jumping in with both feet. And it's all well and good being able to talk the language of soccer, pass, mind, ball, man on, yes, no, turn, all of those sort of phrases, the one-word, two-word phrases that you may need out on the soccer field. But here's a guy, as you say, who's looking to integrate himself into the US way and picking up English, and he believes that it is a massive step forward. Clearly, scoring two fantastic goals against Vancouver is not going to do your popularity in the locker room any harm at all. But he's a very affable, amiable, easygoing and very popular guy already.
And it's funny, you see how competitive soccer players are. I think Vicente Sanchez, who had been learning English at the fastest rate, is now feeling like he's got somebody breathing down his neck in that competition, and he's redoubling his efforts as well. I mean, these guys are working hard to pick up the language.
The one that we talk about, Jose Mari, and again, it was something I mentioned in my weekly column this week. Clint Irwin's performance last week, I thought, was outstanding. It's all well and good saying that he's a good keeper. It's all well and good saying that he's the Rapids' number one. But here's a guy who was injured for the first game, sat on the bench for game two and game three, and then came back in to a game on turf with the side having lost 3-2 the week before. So some could question the mood and the spirit within the camp, which of course those inside the camp would never question. But you can wander in as a goalkeeper. It can be a very lonely place at the best of times, but when you're in that kind of environment against a side like Vancouver Whitecaps, who had been going very, very well at home, doesn't matter how good you are as a keeper, you've still got to regain your touch and find your form. And Irwin, he hit the ground running right away last Saturday. Absolutely fantastic. A phenomenal performance. And, the one save against...
Yeah, that performance is one of those things that might get overlooked with such a great goal by Jose Mari. But it's been interesting. Some of the media have been talking about his performance as well.
Yeah, March to the Match podcast this week, the most recent one. And, they're even talking as a possible future U.S. number one.
I think it's a strong thought. I think it's something that, seeing his play last year, and obviously he's still, even though he was the Rapids number one last year, doesn't have a ton of games under his belt. But some of these heir apparents, Sean Johnson in Chicago and Bill Hamid in D.C., they've haven't quite grabbed that sort of next goalkeeper of the U.S. national team mantle with both hands and really made it their own. So I think that door is wide open for whoever the next would be.
And I think we're biased. I mean, clearly we are, but we know
sure
how good he is. We know how dedicated he is and what a fantastic story that would be if he was to reach the pinnacle of the game and represent his country and no more deserving because of what he's overcome in terms of the soccer hurdles that have been placed in front of him. And we talk about good fortune as opposed to bad fortune. Matt Pickens, obviously, with that terrible injury that he suffered at Real Salt Lake last season. Clint Irwin steps in. Now, not only did he grasp the opportunity and kept his place, a year on, they're now talking of an international future for a guy that, had things not gone against Matt Pickens and in Clint Irwin's favour, he would never have got a sniff. And you know, you talk about opportunities in life. Here's a guy who's quite clearly seen that, grasped it, and is taking full advantage, we hope.
It's true, and I think it is, you know, an interesting idea, but still obviously very premature when you think about the level at which Tim Howard is playing, and then Brad Guzan also playing at a very high level in the Premier League, doing very well. And he's young still. He's got, you know, maybe two more World Cups, maybe three if he plays as long as Brad Friedel has. He's maybe got six left if he plays that long. But but there's certainly, it's a deep position, and even as Brad Guzan ages, he's still pretty young as goalkeepers are considered.
Well, he's 25. Clint is 25. He turned 25 earlier this month. So, you know, by that, he's probably got three, four possible World Cups inside. So he could be on his way to Qatar and Russia, the lucky fella.
Sure.
Don't get me started on Qatar.
we'll save that for later. I'm sure those will come up in a future numpty reference. But let's focus now a little bit more on the next game. Looking to Toronto, you had mentioned some of their stars might not be able to play in this game, but they're still a very deep team, a very good team. But a lot of the Rapids have connections with this Toronto team.
Nathan Sturgis has been there. Edson Buddle has been there. Nick LaBrocca has been there.
Both those guys, Nathan and Edson, for a quick cup of coffee during the Trader Mo era.
It was like a tourist bus. It was a hop-on, hop-off.
Yeah, I think about two-thirds of the players in the league played in Toronto at some point in the 2007 to 2011 era.
And there are two players on the Rapids roster that have got a very close connection with Toronto. That's Nick LaBrocca and Marvell Wynn. LaBrocca went to Toronto in a deal that brought Marvell Wynn in the other direction. That was in 2010, and Wynn obviously went on to feature in the MLS Cup team of that year. So Nick LaBrocca is back here. And I managed to catch up with Marv just to get a sense of how special a city and a soccer city, and how much of a boost it's been for Toronto to have things turned around.
Yeah, they have started off just on fire this year, and I say it's about time. I mean, since I was up there, it's almost like there was a curse in Toronto, but I'm happy to see that that city has a team that's doing very, very well.
What makes it so special as a city and a soccer city?
In 2007, when the team was first accepted into the league, it was absolutely incredible. The fans were amazing. The city itself is great. You can do so much right downtown, or even if on the outskirts. You know, walking down the street or whatever. You know, win number 16 back in the day. Then they'd be very respectful. They loved it. They were diehard. It was just the whole atmosphere of the city in general is just a great time.
And what does it mean further afield? What does it mean to Canadian soccer, Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, doing well?
I'm sure it just means as much as it would for any other country having teams perform well. It means that, you know, the sport in their country is building, and that just leads to possibly more national team experience that will go up and, you know, do well on national cups and on the world stage.
And for you, what do you recall? What were the highlights of your time there?
Well, you like to point out
the goals.
Yeah, my goals back in the day. I think it was 2008. Oh, of course. Thank you very much. 2008, my first goal was against Houston. And then a couple weeks later, I had another one against Dallas. So I only like scoring against teams from Texas, apparently. But those were the highlights for me. Of course, the very first goal from Danny Dicchio, who scored some incredible goals out there. Those are pretty much the ones that stick out the most.
So what can the guys expect this weekend? That fan base, you talk about the passion and a soccer city. What are they walking into?
They're walking into an atmosphere that's more cheers instead of jeers. I know there are some stadiums that are more to just knock down the other team and all that, but I believe Toronto's a place where they're more for, you know, building their own team up. So we're walking into a place that's going to be, they're going to have a very strong 12th man in the fans that are there. So we just have to stay focused and play our game and do what we can.
And the Rapids have played six, lost six in Toronto. Why has it been such a tough place to go for the club?
I would say they're always a difficult team to play against. They may not always get the results or the points throughout the year, but it's always been a difficult team to play against. Difficult stadium to play in with all their fans rooting and all that. It's a difficult away game. I suppose they just have that little extra push in there, so hopefully we can break that when we go up.
So there's Marvell Wynn. I spoke to him earlier this week before they set off for Toronto, and it's interesting. We always have a bit of a giggle, Marv and myself, because as was mentioned there, he talks about, I think it was a commentary I must have done towards the end of last season when Marv ventured into the opposing half, and I think he even reached as far as the edge of the penalty area. And I think I pulled out the stat of he's not scored a goal since 2008, which is when he was at Toronto, hence why he brought that up in the interview there. So he's well aware of what I say, and I've just got to be very careful. But it would be... Well, how ironic it would be if he manages to score his first goal in 6 years back at Toronto at a place where the Rapids, this is a rather ugly stat, played
well,
six,
it's
lost
scary.
Six.
I mean, the Rapids love Toronto for what happened there in 2010, but yeah, go for it with this stat that hurts to even hear.
Yeah, played six, lost six in Toronto since 2000.
I was trying to put a nice shine on this early. Five of those six losses were by one goal, and the six was by two goals. So they've been close matches, but
yeah there was a 3-1. There was a 3-1 in 2008, and the others have been by the one goal. Yeah, last season's game here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park was very, very tight. If you recall, it was a very late winner. I'm trying to recall who it was.
Edson Buddle.
It was Edson Buddle, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Which got a deflection. As was the way with most of Edson's goals last season.
Other than that blast in
the blast
in Los
against LA. They had a difficult time last year. Ryan Nelson's first game in charge, first season in charge, should I say? And a lot of the games early on, certainly they were losing late on. So concentration levels were clearly a problem. But they've thrown some money at the team. They are clearly a different proposition.
Yep.
Some, yes, an understatement. And it is very much a sleeping giant. They love their soccer there, and if they've got something to cheer about, as Marv said, you know, they will make some noise. And he clearly has got some close ties with Toronto. He thoroughly enjoyed his time there. But again, you know, you look at 2013, you look at just periods of the year and good fortune, if you've got the rub of the green. Last season, if you recall, the Rapids played LA three times, and on three occasions, Landon Donovan, Robbie Keane, and I believe Omar Gonzalez, none of those played in any of those games. The chance could be that this weekend, the one and only game against Toronto, they could be without Defoe and Bradley, and that would be a massive bonus.
It would be a shame for Toronto, but I don't think there'd be too many complaints around here. But we'll have to see. So again, that match is this Saturday, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 4 Eastern, but 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Richard, you've got the call on altitude?
Yeah, 1:30 start, and we'll be hearing from Clint Irwin, Mark Birch, and Steve Cook ahead of that game. 2 o'clock kickoff, as you say. Myself and Marcelo Balboa will be calling that game. And if it's half as dramatic as at least half of the games that we've seen so far. The Sporting KC was twists and turns. New York, obviously, with that late equaliser and a fantastic start to Pablo's reign as head coach. A good home win against the Portland Timbers. And then that fantastic double strike from Jose Mari last weekend.
Right, so I was going to say, now you know, anytime he receives the ball within 30 yards of goal, you've got to be totally alert.
Absolutely, you've got to be very, very mindful of what he's capable of. And Toronto this weekend. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. And we're looking forward to the guys returning with another 3 points. That would be a huge boost to the morale as they get set for San Jose on April 19th back here.
For sure. But before we get to those games, Richard, it's that time of the week once again. I'm curious, who has drawn your ire this week? Who is this week's numpty of the week?
Well, I'm heading back to England. I'm heading back to the Premier League, and it's Hull City. Not Hull City, the club. It's the Hull City owner. Who's Assam Alam, who's Egyptian-born, lived in Hull since 1968, so he's lived there a long, long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's not this sort of just arrived on the shores and taken over this Premier League club because he thinks it's the done thing. He's lived in Hull, it's very much his home, but he took over the club a few years back,
And one of his suggestions over the last year or so, and it's begun to filter through the authorities as he's looked to push it through, is changing the name of Hull City from Hull City to Hull Tigers. Now, that is their nickname. They are known as the Tigers because of their orange and black striped jerseys, and it was handed to them by a local reporter back in 1905. So it's been long standing. The nickname, the colours clearly have been long standing. The name has been long standing, but Mr. Alam believes that the word city is both common and it is also out of date. So lousy and common, I think, are the words that he uses, and he wanted to change it to Hull Tigers, believing that the word Tigers and Hull Tigers would be far more of a marketable name than Hull City, which is ironic, bearing in mind that one of the new teams arriving in MLS next season will be New York City FC, and we have Orlando City as well. So
Can we say that this might just be a really well-calculated PR stunt by saying that he wants to change it? Because if he wants PR, he's certainly got some. People to talk about his team.
Yeah, he's got some great PR. But he's taken it to took it to the FA because he was pushing through the name change. The FA said no. It went through to the FA Council, and they've also rejected the name change as well. So I think the one avenue left to him is the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Mm-hmm. So he's considering an appeal. So if he wants PR and he wants a bit of publicity for this, and that alone, then he would stop. He would stop short now. But he's said that they are considering an appeal. He's going to take everything into account. I've got a number of issues, and there's the owner at Cardiff City as well, who could fall into a similar category. Here's a guy at Cardiff who took on the role of owner. Cardiff City, for those that are not aware, their nickname is the Bluebirds because they wear a sky blue jersey. So the new owner comes in, changes the jersey colour to red. So the Bluebirds now wear red. And the crest, the badge has also been changed. You know, my take on this, and I come back to Hull City, there are certain things that are not for changing. Once you've established that identity, and we've seen it in the early stages of MLS, because clubs and franchises were grasping that identity and what fitted with their community. And it was very much the same across England. Teams changed names. You just have to look at Manchester United and Arsenal. You know, they weren't known by their original names. Or they're not known now by their original names. So names have changed in England, but in the early days, once those names have become established, it is part of the fabric of who they are. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that you do not change: the badge, the colour of the jersey, and the name of the team. And I think this is it's an ignorance, it's an arrogance maybe, that I own the club and I can change what I like. There are certain things that fans will accept. Players coming and going, their popular players coming and going, managers, coaches coming and going, popular or not, they just accept that as part and parcel. There are certain things within sport, not just soccer, within sport that are absolutely sacred. Some could argue the name of the stadium, St. James's Park, Anfield, Old Trafford, the idea of changing the names of those stadiums. But I certainly think the name of the team is absolutely something that to be protected, and I think the fans that are backing this campaign, City Till I Die campaign, are absolutely right. There are certain things that you can come in and tweak and adjust and change. You can kick out managers, you can kick out players, but the name of the side is what the fans have clung to, is that identity for generations, and it's not to be changed. So this guy, the owner of Hull City, Assam Alam, not Hull Tigers, Hull City, is my empty of the week.
Okay, well, there it is. That's and I always do like how when you have one numpty of the week, there always seems to be one or two others that crawl in and get lumped in together. So it's Cardiff as well.
The problem is with numpties is that they tend to go around in crowds. They're not isolated, unfortunately. There's more of them out there than you would think.
Yeah. Well, there it is, your numpty of the week. And again, the Rapids will be facing off against Toronto FC this Saturday. That match, you can catch Richard on the call on Altitude at 2 p.m. Pre-game coverage starting at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time this Saturday on Altitude. Thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the Rapids Podcast presented by Dick's Sporting Goods. We'll see you in a week.
Nicely taken by Torres. We'll have a shot. Oh, what a goal! What a goal from Gale!